Welcome to the Daytime Confidential podcast, brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, Phyllis returns to Genoa City on The Young and the Restless, The Bold and the Beautiful heads to Amsterdam, John wakes up on Days of Our Lives, and Jason returns to Port Charles on General Hospital. All this and much more on today's show, so stay tuned. Giddens, welcome.
Hey.
Jillian Bowe, welcome.
What's up?
And Sarah Babel, welcome back, Deep Soap.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Well, let's kick things off. Let's talk a little bit about General Hospital this last week. Jillian.
Luke.
Your man Jason is back in Port Charles. He got hit, though, on the way.
I mean, like father, like son, huh? It's family trait they're keeping over there at GH.
What do you think of him being back and in the hospital, sharing the scenes with Elizabeth and the other characters as this is evolving?
I mean, I'm loving it. You know, they're just feeling it out to see if Jason remembers the people and everything and whatnot. You know, he's so close to them, but yet so far, it's classic soap. So I'm digging it. I just do hope that Jason, when we finally see the bandages off and it's my killer Miller, that Jason with his, you know, nickel-plated Desert Eagle is like, we have to go get Robin because, I'm sorry. I'm just not, you know, I know they have to play the beats with Sam and Liz and blah, but come on now. Like, Robin did something that none of these hoes did, Carly included. Bring Jason back from the dead.
Jamie, someone who almost took Jason out another for a second time was Ava. What did you think of that little plot twist?
Oh, I loved how the two stories weave together. You know, GH is the master of the modern master, at least, of the overlapping plot thread. So as Ava escape makes her flight from certain delivery and death, I thought it was kind of classic ABC daytime soap that she, of course, mow down Jason like a stray blade of grass. You know, shout out to baby Jake. That was classic soap. What I really loved was Jordan and Shawn facing off with their twin guns blazing. And it's like, you gonna shoot me?
You gonna shoot me?
I'm like, is this a Pulp Fiction sequel or what?
Mr. and Mrs. Smith, but without them being married. The black version. I was like, oh my God.
I was very happy about it. I mean, that couple is hot, hot, hot. I really hope that in, you know, General Hospital's 80-person canvas, they find some good time to move that story forward. Because,
and move him out of that kitchen, child.
Yeah, Sean and Jordan are fire. And it's like, you know, Sonny's all nagging at him and yelling at him. And I'm like, come on, Sonny. Yeah, Jason was a much better enforcer than Sean, but if it would have been Sam or Liz, Jason wouldn't have busted a cap on them to get the job done. I mean, Jason would have just shot over their head and shot the target he needed anyway. But, you know, Sonny's
well,
all...
but black Jason can't shoot, so... Yeah.
Well, that's true. Everybody, look, that baby would have been dead more.
I mean, but you would think after he got some good from Jordan, he would be able to make bullets like...
Shit.
I'm like, what is going on here?
Athletes not to have sex before the World Cup, so maybe Jordan's poonanny messed him up even worse.
He couldn't shoot before. Maybe he's shooting worse now.
He couldn't shoot before, so you would think now, you know,
Jordan,
you would think that the bullets would make, you know, would just like go through walls and doors and water and shit and just be like, pow! It's just, I'm like, God, come on, Ron, give him a break. Damn!
Sarah, meanwhile, Ava and Morgan are reuniting. It made me extremely happy.
I cheered.
Go ahead.
I actually cheered because, like, it seemed like they had just were, like, exiling them from each other's scenes. They were putting him in this stupid-ass triangle with Michael and Kiki that nobody cared about. And then in like 2 days, they fixed it. You know, she showed up at his door. He believed her because I was so scared he was going to be like, call Sonny or something. He believed her. He took care of her. They are still magic. And I'm like, Amor forever.
And I love the fact that he's like wanting to be like a daddy to this kid. And it's like, oh, Morgan. But there are still moments when it's like, boy, Carly's sons never, neither of them got much of her brain.
Yeah, some dumb. Oh my God. You know what I really want to happen though when Jason comes back? I want Jason to like rewrite and erase Morgan for him to be like, you chose twat over your father twice. Are you serious? I want him to just, like, remember when Jason, when it was Drew Garrett, when Michael wanted to be part of the mob, and Michael was just being a prick, and Jason was just like, you look like a bitch ass or something. He was like, I'm embarrassed for you. I just want Jason to come back and just eviscerate Morgan, tear into Michael also, and be like, you know, you guys aren't even worthy of the Corinthos name. And for him to go to Morgan and be like, you're not even worthy of my name. Choosing
twice for that.
I was going to say, Jason went and chose Sonny's asshole over the Corinthos for years.
No, but if Jason, if anyone will understand what Morgan is going through, because Sonny screwed Carly when Jason and Carly first declared they had feelings for each other. 5 minutes later, Sonny pulled out the pepperoni stick and slid it in her. So if anybody would understand Morgan, it would be Jason. Jason had
But Carly never tried to kill Sonny like how this bitch did. Ava is trying to kill Sonny, trying to kill his brother, kill Connie, although that's
Morgan doesn't know any of
it. Sonny shot Carly in the head.
Well, that was an accident, but Morgan knows nothing about, he does not know that Ava's threatened to kill Carly, and he doesn't know that.
I mean, the Connie thing, I'm like, that's a plus, and you know, that's a kind of a.
Yeah, when Sam came over there and was talking about Jason and their epic, you know, I'm not a J-Sam fan, but all J-Sam fans should have spit to the side when Sam is talking about the loss of Jason Morgan to her life. And Sonny's like, I know what you mean. And I'm thinking, he's about to say, you know, I went through this with Lily, you know, because I still feel that way about Connie. I was like, boy, shut up!
Well, Young and the Restless is going to get a chance to enjoy a Connie-like character.
I'm not going to dog that girl, because I never felt like she was some terrible actress who should never act again, like Charity Raymer. Kelly Sullivan, given the right role and the right parameters, you know, I didn't mind her as Kate, so I don't think she's going to be terrible on Y&R. I didn't want
her. Look who you're talking about, the right parameters. Look who's the head writer.
Silly boy. Turbo Kelly Sullivan, but you know.
She got turbo and screamed.
She was turbo on General Hospital when she was up dancing and doing all kinds of stuff to Milo.
You know, as much as I love Rod and Frank, they did put her front and center with some crazy stuff. She'll be fine. Like, she'd be fine as Kristen Forrester or any other blonde on a soap. You know, I'm not saying that this girl, like, you know, because look at Jen Lilly. I mean, all the ragging she got on this podcast, and she is murdering
it. Yeah, she has the right writers and EP, so.
Well, let's talk about another aspect of General Hospital this last week, which I actually enjoyed, but when I tweeted about it, I found that not many people agree with me. I really enjoyed how this fluke story is intertwining and how all these people are coming to the realization and the stories are coming together. And for me, the difference between General Hospital and Days of Our Lives is that Days of Our Lives will start out good, go really, 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 really slow, and then you'll have a great culmination. At least with this fluke storyline, while I don't particularly like Fluke himself, I do like how they've intertwined it and how you have Patrick and Sam on one side and you have Dante and Lulu on another side and you have Spencer in another area and Ava and her brother, whose name all of a sudden I can't remember.
Julian.
There we go.
For Ginkgo Biloba to fund this podcast for 6 months.
Sarah, what did you think of how that story has evolved? And are you enjoying it? Because people on Twitter are not agreeing with me at all.
I mean, I am enjoying it because I like that people are putting the pieces together, but nobody has all of the pieces and nobody knows, like, I mean, there's no reason why Dante should be like, I bet Patrick would have the insight that I'm missing on this. You know, there's just like not. So people are being kind of smart. I think it's really hard to tell the storyline without Tony Geary on the canvas. And I think that is, you know, it's just Tony's vacation. Well, break from the show was longer than usual because he had back surgery. Not anybody's fault. Not Ron Flynn's fault.
My bad. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I mean, it just, you know, it just, I mean, it's not really going to be interesting to me until he comes back, but I'm not mad at it the way a lot of people seem to be on Twitter.
I think people are just tired of it because I call him Puke, which is pretend Luke. I think people are just over it because it's played out so long, but it's not their fault that Tony Geary had to go get back surgery and he didn't shoot up like a spring chicken again or like a Pop-Tart and be like, ha-ha, I'm back. You know, I've been saying it from jump, two people that could bust this sucker wide open. Clearly, it's not Lulu, but two people who could bust this wide open and be like, that ain't none of my daddy, and that is not Luke, is his angel Laura and his cowboy Lucky. I think those two could totally bust it open. That's why I was a little like, I wish Billy was Lucky. But, you know, whatever. But I still think Laura could probably come to town. Jamie and I have discussed this offline. Like, Jamie had a good thing to talk about for this to be, you know, offline. Laura could totally bust this open right now.
Yeah.
Jamie?
I think that would be, if Tony Geary, of course, we all the fans know Laura would take one look at him and
Lucky.
Tony Geary, look, his back, when the doctor would have just given him a clean bill of health, and then Frank tells him, Jeannie's coming back for the end of this story. Oh, my back.
Well.
what'd you say? Oh, Jeannie coming back. Oh, sciatica.
I could see that. I could see Frank. You better put some icy hot on that bitch.
Well, Anthony Geary is recovering. Who knows if it's in Amsterdam, but possibly in Amsterdam. He might be able to get a visit from his cohorts over at the Bold and the Beautiful who are going to be shooting
there.
We
just saw Gina drive up to the guard desk.
Oh, anybody got a heating pad?
Jillian, are you looking for another
location? They won't say this, but they can't stand each other. I'm sorry. It's like, let's just quit pretending. The people can't stand one another. He gave an interview to TV Guide's Michael Logan saying that the Luke and Laura fans were like children of divorce who won't get over it. He does not like working with that woman.
I mean, you know, this is when the EP needs to say this is for the better of the show. It's only going to be for X, Y, and Z. Deal with it. Suck it up. She's gone after this. The end. But as to what you're trying to transition to, Luke, I mean, B&B just is like, we have a plethora budget. They're like, we're going to Paris. We're going to Monte Carlo. We're going to Abu Dhabi. I got tired of hearing Catherine Kelly say Abu Dhabi, child. And Amsterdam. I'm just waiting for them to be like, you know, we go into South Africa. We go into Cancun. I love it because when is, you know, soaps have so not taken like an on-location shoot in so long, and it's such a good thing. It's so sexy and, you know, it just takes you back to the glory days. But a little part of me is like, with these four, really? Come on, I'm tired of these four getting to go places. You know, I know Heather Thomas, like, I got passport. I can travel. I ain't on no fly list. Let me travel. Shit. I mean, it is what it is. I'm not going to hate Scott Clifton. It's like, I got good frequent foul of mouth, bitch. Shut your face. But
someone tweeted me on Twitter, maybe if they'd use some of the budget for location shoots on Scripps, B&B might be better.
Well, you know,
that's
to me, that's
just hateful. You know what? They have some of the best writers in the game.
Yeah, that's silly, too. So,
you know, it's a romantic. You know, all the soaps don't have to be a PBS documentary on the Roosevelts. B&B is romantic high fantasy, and they do that very well. During the last 4 or 5 years, where we saw erosion, until GH and the other shows started stabilizing, B&B continued to tick upward. So they can be frustrating, but I was talking to somebody about this. It's the most resemblant of its glory days of any of the soaps, because I used to want to do a drinking game before I was able to legally drink. As many times as I would hear Brooke or Taylor tell Ridge, you have to be committed to this marriage. You have to be committed to this marriage. I'm committed to this marriage. I'm committed to this marriage. And now it's Hope and what? I'm committed to this marriage. Hope, are you going to be committed to your marriage? Hope, are you? I mean, that's just, it's what it always was in a good, fun way. And I don't know, people hating on B&B. I mean, you know, it is what it is. I mean, it's a fluffy little romantic, you know, harlequin come to TV.
Well, and also, Sarah, you're missing the obvious, which is there's nothing but water in Amsterdam, so think who's going to get pushed in.
Yeah. Quinn going to roll up in there on a scooter or something after smoking a joint, because you know it's legal over there.
She gonna That's be legal in L.A., too.
Yeah, she's going to be smoking a good joint and push him.
Sarah, Hope's pregnant, and she's staying with Wyatt.
I am so irritated by this storyline. I admit it's classic soap 101. It's just like, at this point, I don't really like any of the three characters. They're all just sitting, like, I thought the only sane person was Liam, who was like, well, you don't have to have this baby. I mean, because...
Ooh, he pulled a Victor Newman when he said that.
Yeah, and I mean, or hell, he could have raised it himself. All they really had to do was have sex that day, and then he could say, oh no, it's mine, you know. With them both being brothers, the DNA test could be a little more complicated. But, you know, it's just like, Hope is just, like, acting like such a victim of circumstances, and like it's, like, 1953, and, like, she has no choice, because now that she's pregnant, even though she's, like, a millionaire and a forester who can do... with a great career, who can do whatever she wants to do, then, you know, it's just like they're acting like this was this inevitable hand of fate when it was all based on, you know, silliness. And it's, I mean, they're all like, Liam is right, she could have waited. Wyatt was right, she could have waited. She's just the most fickle, who loves me the most at this second, that's who I'm going to be with type character. And she kind of grates on my nerves right now.
She does. And you know what's so funny? She tries to set herself apart from her mother, but she's slowly becoming her mother. Like, not the manipulative. She don't have Brooke's moxie and spunk. She don't have that. Now, I'm going to just put that out there.
No, she's getting Liam and Wyatt.
Okay. Okay.
Oh.
Wow. That was a good one. But she was like, I don't want to be with my mother who ping-pongs between men. You're ping-ponging between two brothers. You know, you let Dollar Bill snicker at you a little bit, and you'd be like, oh, child. You know, then you would totally be your mother sleeping with the grand poobah, the patriarch of the two of them. But she's slowly becoming what she does not want to be, which is her mother. So I think that's a good little threadway and irony there. But it's like, come on, like, Hope. She's all in love with Liam, but, you know, when the boy said, you don't have to have this baby, she should have uppercut him in his face and be like, hold up. So, you know, you ain't got no problem with me dropping your brother like a $2 bag of, you know, like a hot plate of shit or something. But you don't want to have my, you know, you don't want to help me raise this baby. Like,
if
are you
Hope
serious?
Uppercuts him in his face, Bold and the Beautiful will no longer be on CBS. They will have to distribute it to VH1, a companion series for Love and Hip Hop. Love, Hip Hop, Fashion.
I'm just saying, like, for him to even, you know, for her to say that should have been a little wake-up call for her to be like, whoa, wait a minute. Because it happens to be Wyatt's baby, you don't want me to have it? Like, are you serious? This is still a part of your bloodline. I would have liked Hope to say something like that, or to, like, really rip into him. She just annoys me to know.
That's the where B&B, you know, that is what, you know, it's so puritanical and wholesome, even though these people are all incestuous and sleep with family members all the time. But there's still this puritanical respect for marriage and respect for babies, because yes, in any normal situation, a woman would just go have an abortion. But, you know, Hope does treat her pregnancy and her unexpected pregnancy just like the frumpy middle sister on Downton Abbey. She's all, just, she jumped off that water and got, you know, that week I was through with it. But now with Liam and why, you know, it's getting soapy. I've wondered why it's taken this long to add a baby to this mix. I mean, I know Steffi, you know, got pregnant and then got on her motor scooter and flew into the air. And the baby went sailing into Malibu Canyon. But I love that, you know, because they do need to go ahead and start populating Generation Next, because, you know, it's like Brooke had 4 or 5 children by this time in the triangle.
I just want Wyatt, I really do want Wyatt to get his gonads back and for him to just chew Hope a new one, to be like, you know what, bitch, you didn't like it when my brother did this to you and Steffi, and I just want him to just rip her a new one and just to be like, kick rocks or something, because she's so wishy-washy and she's like that kid, you give them a new toy and they're all happy for it, but when another toy comes along, she wants to play with it. But then when someone plays with the old toy, it's like, I don't want you playing with it.
But his mom, you know, when she's happy with her Teddy Ruxpin and she walks out of the room for a cookie, she comes back and magically Teddy Ruxpin's head has been cut off and she's been given Dolly Wet My Pants. So it's like she's choosing Dolly Wet My Pants, but she really wanted Teddy Ruxpin, but Quinn is there with the scissors talking about, say something else, Teddy Ruxpin, say something else.
No, it just frustrates me that, you know, She's using all that as an excuse. A real woman would be like, all right, Riot deuces, like, or something like that. And a real man would tell Hope, enough of this shit. Like, I kind of, you know.
Oh, there are no real men on the Bold and Beautiful at all.
I just wish Wyatt would tap into being Bill more, because we thought that, you know, he was a little Bill-esque. I would have liked for him to be like, Hope, cut this crap. Like, I loved when Bill said she was fickle. Like, Bill nailed it on the head when he said that she was fickle, and he was just reading her for
Bill's filth. The Steffi, because, you know, this is classic Ridge Taylor. I mean, when Ridge was married to Brooke and happy, raising his 2 half-siblings with her, you know, little Eric and what's her butt at the time, Bridget. And then they found out that Thomas was really his. And he left Brooke, you know, because his mama was like, you have to be with Taylor and your son. And his dad was like, no, son, you have to stay and raise my bastard children. You know, it's like he sat there for 2 or 3 episodes. I've made a commitment to Brooke, but now I have the son with Doc. I mean, it's like, and then he decided, well, I'm going to go with the one who has my bio baby. So they've always kind of made that whole, this is your family. This is your true family.
Yeah,
Jamie.
I just want someone to read her.
Step families are getting, step children have always been treated like shit on the Bold and the Beautiful. It's like Steffi never missed a second to tell Hope she was not a Forrester, when in reality,
what about poor Thorn?
None of them are
way better than Thorn ever.
And that's the thing, though.
None of them are Forresters.
Thorn should come in and scream at all of them. None of you are Forresters.
No, Allie should really get funky with Hope and be like, when she's like, it's my name and it's my life, she should be like, no, Ho, you stank Ho, you. This is my company. I'm a Forrester. You are a Logan. And for her to go to Thomas and be like, well, whenever we see Thomas, for her to be like, you're a Maroney. I'm the true heir, and y'all are just
so happy. Too busy going to Chuck E. Cheese.
Here's 2 things. First of all, I think one of the other problems with The Bold and the Beautiful is they don't have their next Amber or Deacon, young Amber or Deacon. Wyatt, Hope, and Liam could be much more interesting if there was
a
next
Wyatt is supposed to be a young Deacon. Or, he's supposed to be
a Bill.
That's not how he's coming across.
No, he's coming across. The differentiation between he and his personality and Liam's has basically disappeared at this point.
Yeah, there's nothing. They need to bring on Drew Garrett as Little D. You know, I did a wishful casting. Come on, Brad. Bring on Little D. He should be mad as hell that Hope gets her own fashion line and he's stuck somewhere with Tawny, probably in a trailer park.
In Death Valley, yeah.
They need Little D to come to town and be like, I want my piece of the four Lannister pie and add some of Allie's pie. That would spice things up. I think they have their Amber with Quinn, because Quinn serves the same kind of purpose.
Yeah.
Amber.
Yeah.
I saw her, y'all. I was so, because I was looking at the Hallmark Channel the other day, and because I was like, I wonder where little Adrian Franz is, you know, because she was off singing one time. You know,
no.
Anyway, she is in a Hallmark Family movie. It's like she was the friend. You know, it was called I Married Who, and Kelly Martin, the girl that used to be on
Christy.
Life Goes On, yeah,
and on ER, yeah.
Yeah, she was marrying the boy that used to be Nola and Quint's son on The Guiding Light, and then there was Adrian Franz. So I said, this is where all the soap stars are making their money, the Hallmark Channel. They're all
They're all over there. Jamie, before we move on, what do you think of Maya being messy?
I love it. Maya told me to tell y'all.
Messy Maya.
She went and got her hair bumper straightened out. She got a hot comb, had her hair popping, bouncing and behaving, and she was sneaking around, catching Caroline, hugging up on Ridge, and, hi, Katie. Hi, Maya. Girl, I don't mean to be the one to tell you this, but you better watch your man, girl, because let me tell you, that bitch Caroline, she be trying to steal folks' men. She stole my man, girl. You better get your white man away from her. And Katie was all, I don't need you to tell me that. I'm smarter than everyone. My heart! But then she went in there and saw him, and she was like, what about that?
Child, and Maya know what she's doing with that one, because Katie ain't the one to do that with. And you know what, Heather Tom, you know, it's like, all right now, don't hurt him, girl.
Oh, she went immediately and confronted Ridge. Brooke would have like let it dance around in her mind, or
Brooke would have been, you know, Brooke likes to pat your head. You know, Brooke likes to pat your head and be like, oh, Maya, Ridge doesn't want her. He wants me. No, Katie's like a bull in a china shop. It's like, what you doing, bitch?
Brooke would have handled that in one of two ways. She would have, you know, just brushed it off, or she would have had Pam send Ridge a note to meet her in the steam room. Because that's all Brooke need to do to get a man back in line.
Or Brooke would have said,
hey, you can't go in the steam room because if you got bad heart, they got the sign up that say, do not come in.
Shut up. Or Brooke would have just sent a bottle of Ripple over if Caroline was a drunk.
Caroline and Ridge have the heat, though. They have the heat. It's like, imagine... Well, you know, my idol is Jackie Collins, so I love her dearly, but I wouldn't want to sleep with her. We don't want to sleep together because I'm gay. But imagine.
Yes. You sort of said what would happen with Nathan.
No, imagine that's her idol, and she grew up wanting to draw with him. And there he is. You know, this is how you draw. This is how we learned how to draw in Scotland or wherever he's from. And, you know,
Scotland, you fool.
And they're all drawing together, and you know, she, you know, they're all close. He's right behind her, so he probably has a little bulge on her little bottom. And she's like, oh, what is that? Oh, that's my
Is that a pencil, or are you happy to see me, sir?
Yeah.
My drawing utensil.
And this would be good drama, too, because she happens to be... It kills two birds. That is his... That's two of his nemesis women. That is Rix, who has been his nemesis, who's, you know, play kin, and that's Dollar Bill, who was his nemesis,
his
too.
His niece, How dare you mess with my niece, Forrester? And it'll be some payback. Because, you know, when Dollar Bill was sniffing around Steffi.
Yes!
Speaking of payback, Sarah, do you think that John will get any against Teresa?
Oh, it's days, so yes, but 12 months from now?
What do you think?
I mean, I think, you know, right now it makes sense. Like, we're going to have the drama, it's days, I think, for several weeks at least of, wait, I'm remembering vague bits and pieces.
I remember, Doc. I remember getting a cheese sandwich that day. Yeah.
Yeah. was there fire in the fireplace? Was it cold that night? I mean, there's going to be, a lot of that going on. And then Teresa, trying to be like, plant some alternate memory in his head of like, nah, we all went to the beach that day. I don't know what you're talking about. And, I think it'll be fun. And it's like, especially with, Sammy and EJ, in their exit storyline, we kind of need John there. We need some like classic characters, like front burner in a storyline. I will admit John has never been one of my characters, but like, I'm glad that he has a real story, that he's mixed, that it's multi-generational, that it's not him and Marlena sitting off worrying about people, the younger generation, that he is in the thick of it with Brady, with Teresa, with Kristen, with all, this big mess, umbrella storyline. So, I mean, I like it. I think it's good. I also think it's kind of funny that they even tried to pretend to the audience that, like, the medicine might not work, that Kristen might not work. Like,
you hush your
so
face,
before.
Sarah Bebel. I mean, you hush your face. You didn't like what John used to throw Marlena on that couch, and she used to be all, mew, you shut your face.
I'm going to send you a clip of Rapture. When Anita Baker's Rapture play, we used to be their whoring song on days.
Shut up.
Marlena would walk into places and see John, and then it would be, this is ridiculous because, like,
not carbon
her hair is huge. I'm like, I thought the big hair lift with the end of the 80s, and that was 93, maybe. Dee Hall walked into the Brady Pub, which looked so much more fabulous than it looks today, of course. And her hair was huge. And she saw John. She had just told Sammy she could go shopping for an outfit with, who was Sammy's black friend? Jonah! And so they went off, shopping. And she went into the pub, and there was John. And he was at the jukebox, and he put on Rapture.
Not caught up in the Rapture. I'm so dying here. Oh, my God.
Marlena looked like she was orgasming right there in public in Maul Brady's restaurant. She goes, and she went and sat down all, like, holding a bottom tight, like you had a pee. Just hold. Incredible.
They play Caught Up now, in the Rapture was their song. I'm so... you have to send that clip to me, too, because that is my... Nita is my girl. Nita is my girl.
Jamie, EJ and Sammy are renewing their vows. They're going to
be... with no music. They don't get no... Yes. Look, they got... what love song they get to have? Little Alice Horton Jr. and JJ, what's Sammy's kid's name?
Johnny.
Johnson and Chica, they all in there humming. That's all they can afford now. But, poor days. But yeah, I've enjoyed the reunion, Luke. I've enjoyed the E-Jammy reunion. And we can see the threads. It's like they're together, they're happy, they're in love. Chad is teaming up with Kate to take them down, and then all of a sudden, we've never known what illegal activities the Damaras do. They're kind of like the Sonny Corinthoses.
Coffee stuff.
Now, all of a sudden, EJ's selling meth with Pappy. or whatever he's, we don't know what the product is, but let's see. He's from, Poplar Bluff. I'm like, he's making meth. We know he's
Pigeon Hollow.
They only make meth and moonshine there. Moonshine ain't profitable.
If you've watched Justified, you know they do more than those.
Well, I don't watch Justified. But I do know that they are having EJ do some very no good Nick things as he's getting ready to exit with this evil Southerner. And so I'm like, oh, Lord, is this... I hope that... I get the drama of it, but please don't give me a Thelma and Louise exit for them. I want Sammy and EJ and their three turtle doves, two...
Partridge and a pear tree.
and everybody to leave town happy. You know.
Huey, Dewey, and Louie to go. Yeah.
Chip, Dale, and all the rest of them.
Or, for everyone to think EJ's dead or something, and then Sammy, you know, you see Sammy playing, you know, I'd rather this. Or, you know, Sammy be like, and she jump in the car, and she's like sitting there waiting on somebody with Huey, Dewey, and Louie, and Chip and Dale, and then someone jumps in the passenger seat, and it's EJ.
I don't know. Yeah, I just have very bad memories of that last scene of Melrose Place after Peter and Amanda fake their death, and then they're on that sick island, and I'm like, oh god. I mean, it was better than JR at the last of Dallas, where, you know, he shoots the devil in the mirror. But I just want EJ and Sammy to get a really decent send off. I don't want it to be some schlocky, you know, we got to try to spike ratings because we know we're losing our big stars. So let's have them drive off of the docks into the water with the three children.
Maybe they could run over Paige on their way out of town.
I'm so sad that Sammy, I mean, not Sammy, what's the face? Kate's gone again. I liked Kate and Sammy's little owl. Oh, their little team up. Damn it.
Yeah, Kate, as soon as she could smell EJ on Sammy, she was through.
Sarah, what do you think of Chad and Kate teaming up?
I like it. Look, I want Sammy and Kate to live happily ever after together, but the fact of the matter is Allison Sweeney has chosen to leave the show. So, you know, we need Kate to be working with someone interesting. Chad, this guy is taking over, in 2 weeks, this guy is just blowing the show up. I hope Kate ends up sleeping with him. She needs to get to the Mira trifecta.
Damn. No!
But, really? You know, not for true love or anything.
I know. No. I know you ain't crazy. I know you know karate, but you ain't crazy. But no, for like, I don't know if I want that. Because I'm like, damn, Kate, you done been all around the
She was a hooker. She has to at least measure them all.
I don't know if I like new Chad yet. I'm going to have to wait and see on him.
Jamie, what do you think of JJ and Paige?
Their little story is actually growing on me. You know, they have viable stakes. They have viable obstacles now. You know, I kind of like them teaming up to... I'm glad they didn't go the predictable route. And JJ, how could you get naked in a public park with that girl who looked like Ned the Wino? Why would you do that? I'm glad they didn't do the whole she believed the setup. I'm glad that they've given her a brain. She was supposed to be going to Ivy League, right? So she would know that her mom, she doesn't know her mom, but I'm glad she's quick. She's blaming the little black girls. See that little black girls of America? Would a rich white woman come to you asking you to be part of some schemes? You tell her no, Miss Donovan, because I'm going to get blamed. Paige is blaming Lisa Turtle. I don't know her name. What's the black friend? Blaming her. And she is like, But, you know, so...
I would have liked for Sister Soldier to tell Paige about her ass, though.
Yeah, they're growing on me. She acts like a lesbian. Anytime, I used to say this all the time with my friends. Whenever somebody is blocking you that hard, it's like, why is she blocking you that much, Paige? She wants you? She want to eat your kitty herself? She's all, stay away from her, JJ. I'm like, you acting like Whitney Houston's friend used to be with Bobby Brown.
No.
Well, if that's your hypothesis, then what did you think of Sharon and Phyllis together? Because Sharon did a whole lot to Phyllis to try and stop her. Jillian, what did you think of Phyllis returning to Genoa City?
You and these transitions. Sharon and Phyllis are rivals. They weren't friends.
Yeah, but how do you know? Maybe
you did watch God and Light, where two rival women who were fighting over the same man, soon as they put him in the ground and shuffled the dirt over him, they looked at each other and said, you know, you're kind of cute.
No, stop.
I'm not going to kiss you, but I'm sure going to make you some cookies. And then we're going to do 17 web series about it.
Jillian, What did you think of Phyllis returning to Genesis
City? After
the Stick Palisades, where two lesbian women from the wrong side of the tracks fall in love. Coming October 2016.
That story is like 22 Jump Street at the end of it, where they go through 2050 or whatever, 200 and something. Like Jump Street.
And Jessica Letcher in Malibu Colony. Ooh, I love you. No, my daddy said we can't be together. Shut up! I'm finna eat your kid!
Or it's gonna be like,
oh my god,
Italia, Moon Rover. Stick that rover right in me.
I didn't.
Winnetka, where two lesbians go to New England on the wrong side of the tracks.
Oh my god, they're gonna come for you.
Murder, she wrote.
I'm gonna murder that bitch! For your year long.
A whole new definition of catching crabs off the coast!
are terrible!
Okay, I'm done!
That was funny.
Jillian.
What families y'all gonna have? Shit!
Falling down, that is
Magnum PI. Hold up one dildo.
Dog. Stop!
Hold up the other.
Jillian! I'm Luke. Jillian, what are your thoughts on... We gotta get you back, boy. We gotta get you centered. Jillian, I wanna know your thoughts on the latest bridal shower on The Young and the Restless.
Child. Okay, we're talking about Phyllis coming back to town. Like, why are they doing it? You know, I like what Gina is doing. Gina's putting her spin on it. Gina's fitting in right. She's fitting in really well. My thing is, why are they doing this long thing? Like, she traveling from here to Kalamazoo to get to Genoa City. Like, why is she hiding? Phyllis didn't do nothing. She can just tell him, look, bitches, I'm back or something. Like, it's just so over-top. It's too over-dramatic. It wasn't not funny, as Tammy would say, from the real world. Like, why is it needed? Like, why is she hiding? Why are you hiding, bitch? Why are you hiding? Why are you hiding? Why are you hitchhiking? Well, why can't you, like, let everybody know that you're in town? Like, why can't you just pick up a phone and call Victor, call Daniel, to be like, get me out of this, get me out of Georgia. I have to get back to Genoa City. Like, I get they're trying to introduce Gina Tognoni, but it's just too much. Like, it would have been a little juicier if they had Phyllis sneak into town and observe Nick with Sharon and Jack with Kelly, and for her to be like, oh, y'all have moved on, y'all didn't wait for me to wake up, and for her to just have this gnawing feeling that Sharon did something to her, and then voila, she remembers what Sharon did. Like, I just don't see the need for her to be hitchhiking. Like, what is this? Why is she hiding?
I think it would have been nice if we had some sense where, like Phyllis is like, wait a minute, Victor's doing all this, Victor's messing with me, and then she, you know, she would be freaked out, and then we'd understand why she's doing all the things she's doing. Because then if you had a window into her mind, if she's like, well, Sharon tried to kill me, and now I wake up in this mad doctor's, you know, lab, and I find out Victor's pulling the strings behind this. But then again, we know she's going back to Genoa City, so if that's her agenda, then that wouldn't make sense of her being, like, afraid. So, you know, it is a little, it's not necessary. If I understood why she was doing it, I could get behind it.
And she ain't had to even have nobody massage her legs. For physical therapy. You know, she ain't even had to have nobody rub her down with ice.
I watched Kill Bill.
Jumped off out of that bed and took off.
I watched Kill Bill. Remember the bride all, you know, Beatrice Kiddo, you know, Black Mamba. Remember when she was laid up, she tried to jump out of that bed and her legs were like, no. And she just had to force her way out of there. Phyllis just rolled out of that bed like, hey,
they're doing,
y'all.
This is an old school soap coma, I have to say, because you know, when Marlena came out of her coma after 5 years, she got up, fluffed her hair out, said, and caught a plane to sail up. Like, we didn't know how Marlena had a credit card. We don't know how she got home. But, you know, this is definitely that old school.
Over at GH2, we talked about this. Like, Robin is the only bitch I know who's in captivity who get highlights, who get a hair bump curl, who get a haircut.
Has divorce papers.
Yeah, well, the divorce papers are neither here nor there. But get her hair cut. Like, you know, I'm held against my will, but can I get a fresh cut, y'all? Like, what
but
is
But I'm going into the city to get bump curls.
I miss Emma, but
well, that's like
cut.
That's like Olivia Pope on Scandal. She was on the island and all curly, and like she comes back barely in town,
no,
and all of a sudden she's got like flat iron hair. Like, what happened? Did that happen on the plane or something?
No. Let me give you Sister 101, sir. She probably had something known as a flat iron in her purse. Yeah, so that long plane ride. Let me finish. She could have plugged that in because planes have outlets now. She could have plugged that sucker in.
Or she could have just done it before she got on the plane.
Yeah, so that we're talking about.
She went to the hotel. No, Robin is kidnapped. Olivia Pope. On vacation.
She probably wanted a spot, and we don't even know if that's a wig. How about that?
Robin could have been was wig. Like, I don't care that I can't see my daughter and my husband, but you will get me highlights.
You know, I want to see Patrick. Ooh, girl, that bob looks fresh. I want one now. Like, come on. Phyllis, too. Phyllis is like, I've been laid up in this bitch, but ooh, my hair looks tight.
His defense, they did that against her will. Look, that some certified nurse's aide who fancies herself Vidal Sassoon shellacked Phyllis's long red tresses while she was drooling.
Sarah, Devon and Hillary, what are you thinking of that?
I like Devon and Hillary as a couple. I don't like the way the storyline is playing out with this whole Neil is blind thing. It's just not entertaining. It's just, you know, it's just, again, it's sort of making everyone like act again like it's 1950 and, you know, we've got to fulfill our obligations rather than do what we want to do, even though he was like, I want a divorce. And it just, you know, I buy their lust, I buy them as a couple. I just wish the story were executed in a way that was hotter and more interesting, because all of the stuff of like Neil, you know, being blind, it's dull, and we know it's going to be over in a month, because I mean, they've even had the storylines where it's like Devon's like, well, I used to be deaf, and Jack's like, I used to be paralyzed, nothing lasts forever in Genoa City, and it just
except
sort of takes
MS.
The face out.
MS, yeah, shit, you know?
Jillian, it doesn't take Stevie Wonder.
They forget everybody else's ailments but Nikki. Victor got epilepsy, and a little a teenage girl's heart. We don't never see him talk about that. But Nick,
and what happened to the dog?
Every time Nicky, you know, the sun don't come up, everybody start asking, Nicky, you okay? Your MS ain't gonna start acting up. Shut up! Give me a drink! You know, but now, Neil can't see. Nicky got the MS. And Michael Dick don't work no more.
Oh my God.
Happy day! Happy escapist television.
Isn't it stimulating? Isn't it stimulating entertainment to watch the Young and Restless these days?
LeBlanc is looking at GH and looking at his peers like William DeVry and even John J. York, you know, getting to play these virile, hunky men into their 50s. Oh, we have the best story for you, Christian. Can you imagine the pitch? Can you imagine? Oh, no. Next for Michael and Lauren. We're going to make your dick stop working.
We did it. We got a tie-in with Cialis.
You know, I know. Yeah. And, you know, Christian, the GH boys and the Days people and B&B guys better not slip on a banana peel, because Christian will be up there like, hey, y'all, I could do this.
Victor is penetrating with no problems with a bad heart and epilepsy into his 80s. But Michael Baldwin got the lip dick.
Well, maybe he needs a pump. Jamie, what do you think of Dylan as the number one suspect in Ian's murder?
You know what? I actually enjoy this story because, number one, it means Ian's off the show. Number two, I really think...
For now.
No laughing, really. I'm serious about this. I'm enjoying Steve Burton and Doug Davidson's chemistry. I think Steve is playing this story well. Who knew that this would become one of my favorite stories on the show? I think that story is very well done, with this being Paul's new son and him worried, you know, I hope I don't have to drop you like I did Rick. You know, Christine is all, you know, he said that to him in so many words this week. You know, he was like,
I'll have to cap your ass at your brother Rick.
I wasn't able to stop my other son. Basically letting him know, if you run around killing people, I'm going to pop you like I popped Rick. You know, and Chris, with Christine as the DA. And, you know, I enjoy this. And Avery, Lord, Avery is the type of woman every man needs. Like, if they come up to Dylan, you know, Avery just starts screaming, shut up, I'm his lawyer, don't you ask him nothing. Paul could be like, I just said I ordered a frappuccino, not a latte. Shut up! You will not ask him any questions without the presence of his counsel. I'm like, dang, everybody need a woman like Avery. That storyline is the least of Y&R's issues for me right now. And number one, I feel the same way about Dylan as I did Ava Jerome when she, you know, we know she did kill Connie, but, you know, if Dylan killed Ian Ward, he deserves the key to the city.
Oh, shit, I'll pay his bail. I will fly to Genoa City.
Daddy Ronald needs to come back and have a concert. Dylan, you did us all a favor, so rock on. And then Phyllis could jump up, because you know she was Daddy's biggest fan. You know, that's what I would have done. When Phyllis was in that truck, I would have had the radio station play Rock On, and she'd be like, ooh, turn that up. Because remember, she was Daddy's obsessed fan.
Yeah.
You know? Not that I expect anyone at that writing regime to know that.
Yeah, silly boy. silly.
As we wrap this up, Jamie, final thoughts for the last week in soaps?
My final thought is that it is the 10th anniversary of Laguna Beach, the game-changing MTV reality show that spun off the Hills and made MTV and Viacom $1 billion. Do you want to know who helped shape that idea? A little lady by the name of Wendy Riche.
Tell it.
Should be the executive producer of The Young and the Restless.
That's who Ellen Wheeler tried to mimic and had them peeing in bushes and shit.
Yeah, when she said that, I'm like, girl, you ain't watching The Hills, because Lauren Conrad looks fly.
I'm like, and
Lizzie Spaulding.
The Hills.
I love her.
So, yes, Wendy Riche. You know, if you don't get mentioned in all of the coverage that's out there, because, of course, it's all like, where are they now with Lauren and this and that. I remember when I got excited when I was watching MTV and I saw the name Wendy Riche, and my cousins were like, why are you so geeked out about that? Shut up. The show's about to come on. And I'm like, she used to be the showrunner of General Hospital. They're like, shut up, Jamie, you and these soaps. So I just said, shout out to Wendy, and don't tell me, powers that be, that it ain't nobody else out there but Jill, because Wendy Riche is out there. Call her. Give her a call. Call her.
Jillian, final thought?
Let's see. My final thought is, for days, don't let Ejammy go down in vain. Y'all got me hope. Y'all got me wishing, hoping, and dreaming, and wanting, and stuff. Y'all got not Kristen, what's she named now? Susan coming back and shit. Like, I want everything to be good when EJ and Sammy chuck up the deuce. I just don't want it to go down in vain. Like, I don't want EJ to be dead or presumed dead or something. Just, Days is on fire. Just don't mess it up.
It's too late. It was taped 5 months ago.
Yeah.
Sarah?
Shit, my bad.
My final thought is, this is just sort of stuck in my craw this week. Robin needs to have better ways of telling people, actually, I'm in danger. She is Robert and Anna's son. She's Skyping with Anna and Patrick. Doesn't she have some signal where she's like,
yes.
Emma gets her blue teddy bear, and then they can be like, Emma doesn't have a blue teddy bear. Something's wrong here. Like, you know, you would think as she would have some, like, some predetermined code at least worked out with Anna from, like, when she was a kid, something she could say that wouldn't set off Claire's bell. Because it just bugged me last week. I just
Sarah,
had to get that off the chest.
Sarah, thank you, because I said it, and then some fools were like, well, Anna and Robert couldn't get Helena. I'm like, no, that was Luke who couldn't get Helena. Get it right. I'm like, the Scorpios never was out for her. I'm like, if you had said Faison a few years ago, you may have got me beat. But they got his ass. I'm like, Robin can say something. She's the parent of, like, she's the children of a child of spies. Like, why hasn't she done something? Like, every regime has put that in there, that Robin does a little something to let her parents know what's going on, or has a little something of her parents, and she don't let them know. Like, this, like, to me, this is just the deconstruction of Robin so that Patrick can move on with Sam. So,
well, my final thought is also about General Hospital, but it involves Nina.
Robin.
I love Michelle Stafford. I love Michelle Stafford. I think that Nina has been an interesting character.
She came out of a coma with a
but my God in heaven. It's however this is going, it's becoming a little bit much. They need to dial back Nina some. And let it be more organic, because it's getting to the point where it's becoming a little bit forced.
Says the man who thinks Helena coming back from the dead 12,000 times is okay. Okay.
But there's Nina... a difference between Helena as a long-term character with the show and Nina, who is a new character.
Yeah.
Fans don't want to have new characters thrust on them every single day. They want them phased in. Helena has a character with history. If she shows up for 3 episodes, they're happy to see her. Nina's going to be on the show a lot more.
I love me some Nina.
But... I'm serious. Like, oh my God, her body, like, I had to shake. So I'm like, this bitch been in a coma for 20 years, and her body is banging. I'm like, what is wrong with this picture here? Like,
Deidre Hall got up out of coma with bigger boobs on days. That's the testament right there.
Oh my God.
Like, up with bigger boobs and longer hair.
Michelle,
and it cut it off. It was layered and frosted.
Like, I'm like, Michelle Stafford's body is sick. I'm like, Nina, you shut up. I hope you don't get nothing what you want back with that body. Bang.
Oh, the other thing, Kiki and Michael need a dog.
Oh my God, yes. Yeah.
Oh,
Lord.
We can agree on that point.
Yes.
You know, I had an interesting conversation with the head writer. He was just like, you're jealous. I'm like, jealous of what? Pink? And I was like, boy, stop.
Jealous of Michael?
Michael and Lauren. And he was like,
if somebody don't take Michael suit shopping so he can get a tailored suit, he's supposed to be running.
Oh, this
suit falling out.
This from the person who thinks that Ridge looks fine on The Bold and the Beautiful dressed in his sloppy suits, and he's a fashion designer.
He's fine. He has a body.
Michael does. I mean, shouldn't be worrying about a suit until Rich can get a suit that fits right.
Nothing's wrong. Michael
looks like he's performing in Death of a Salesman.
He looks like he's playing dress
that
up.
Suit hangs off of him like Kevin Klein doing Death of a Salesman in Soap Dish. He needs a tailored suit.
All I'm saying is Rich does too.
No, he does.
On that note, we would encourage you to comment on this episode at daytimeconfidential.com.
Of course, the K reads you up. Oh, I will never forget.
Add us as a friend on Facebook, facebook.com/DC Confidential. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/DC Confidential. Sarah, where can they find you on Twitter?
You can find me at Deep Soap.
Jillian?
Deep Soap.
No. Don't you do that to her.
No, that's what Olivia and Otalia was using, was Deep Soap. Sorry, Sarah. I just had to wrap it up that way. Jamie, where can they find you?
Grand Canyon, a story of two lesbians who fall in love on a trip to see what...
And explore each other's depths.
You know, okay. Two warring families.
So long.
Two warring families in Shaker Heights in Nutbush, Tennessee. Like, I don't need it.